community. And so thank you in advance for going ahead and bringing some toys. We're already getting a bunch of those in. And so thank you for helping us to get amped up, ready. We'll be making announcements for how you can volunteer. We had an army of people who served last year. It was so much fun. It was so awesome to do that. And we'd love to get you involved in doing that as well. Let me say thanks again to those who served in the art camp. I was here a couple of those nights, and it was just an incredible experience as so many kids were reached and families touched through that. And then also yesterday, wow, what a difference at Hickory across the street because of coming over there. I didn't know it looked so bad, just driving by until we got closer and walked in. It had been a while since I'd been over there. And the difference that was made by the group of people that went and served yesterday was just astounding. It was obvious what had been done and the impact that was made. So thank you so much for helping with that. I did hear, before I make a couple other announcements, that Mary, back here, I think you're having a birthday today. 102, is that right? 102, yeah. And she walked in. Okay, she did. Okay, she didn't even roll in as far as somebody having to just. So that deserves happy birthday, right? Am I right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Awesome. And she's praising the Lord for 102 years. So how many want some of that, you know? That's awesome. Hey, I also want to say that Brandon McCowan, I'm sure you might have already heard this on the news or news outlets or Facebook or whatever, wherever you get your news. There were a lot of talk this week about Brandon McCowan. He's one of our students here. He's a student getting ready to go into ministry and serves all the time in our kids ministry. And he was savagely attacked the other night and beaten and, robbed and just a terrible situation. They set up a GoFundMe account, and it has exceeded their expectations. But in addition to that, we are his church family, and so there is a box out at the info center. And if you would write a card out, there's cards there, so you can just write a card out and just say, hey, praying for you, stay on track. He is staying on track, proud of how he's even praying for those who hurt him and realizes that, hey, without Jesus, all of us, we don't know who we'd be, right? Many of us. And so it's awesome how that's turned around. Well, anyway, he's collected a bunch of money too through the GoFundMe, but if you want to throw some bills in there for Brandon as well and help him out, what's cool about this, I was talking to his mom again today. I'd called the house and talked to her the other day when this happened, but today she was getting the communion prepared because that's just what they do. They just serve. And so she was here today serving us, getting the communion ready, and then serving in children's ministry and things like that, Jessica. And so I asked her about the worth of his car that they stole. And she said, I think he paid somewhere in $1,000 for it. And I said, wouldn't it be awesome if he could have like 2, 3, 4, 5 times as good of a car? Let the devil have that one, and God give him a better one to drive now. So that's just how God works. I reminded them of Joseph's life. His brothers meant it for harm. He said, God meant it for good. Job friends were telling him, what'd you do, Job, to deserve all this terrible stuff in your life? And then at the end, Job gets restored to even more than he had at the beginning. And so we're believing that for Brandon, so you can encourage him today. Also, we're excited about new staff members coming. I want to announce their names today. The Lemas will be here in a few weeks, and the main reason they're coming is in the middle right there, because we didn't really care if the other two came or not, but I'm teasing. But Nora is awesome, and also the Lemas, Matt and Aubrey, are awesome as well, and we can't wait for them to get here, and so we'll be announcing when they're coming and everything, but they're finishing up where they're at in ministry, and we're excited for them to join us in what God has for kids ministry here at Crossroads Church in the future, because I assure you, with the Lemas here, it's only going to get better, all right? It is only going to get better. Today, we are continuing on in a series that I started last Sunday, and I had huge feedback from this series already, just the first weekend. Actually, I had a couple people say that they thought it was one of the best sermons they've ever heard me preach. And so if you weren't able to be here, the good news is you can listen to it. You can't watch it yet. We're working on that. But you can listen to it from our podcast. And an easy way to access that is from our website. And so if you'd like to catch up with what maybe you missed last week, maybe you're on vacation or whatever, and so you weren't able to be here. So be sure and do that, and you can always listen to, usually within 24 hours, the message that's been preached on Sundays on the podcast. But today we're going to turn our attention to Colossians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, you can open it up to Colossians chapter 3, or if you have the YouVersion app, the notes as well are on that Bible app. You can access those and follow along, or we have it printed out, and we're going to have it on the screen. So, hey, I think we got all the bases covered to be able to share this today. Before we get into today in Colossians chapter 3, last week, let me just give a quick review. We started out at the very beginning. In Genesis, God said, I want to make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We want to make man in our image. So they made man and woman. And that was chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we focused on that last week. It only took one more chapter to mess it up. Okay? Just one more chapter. And the whole thing's jacked up. In chapter 3, the serpent comes to Eve and says, God is holding out. The real life is over here, right? You know, if you just come over here, the party, right, is over on this side. It's over here. And God is holding out on you. You are going to know real freedom. You are going to know an awesome life if you just come over here. And Eve bit into it. I thought that'd be funnier than what it was. I should have known from first service. It just kind of, in the first service, I went ahead and did it anyway. I thought maybe it'd be different, but it wasn't. So she bit, Adam bit, and as a result, they hit bottom because it did not lift them up the way it was advertised. It did not take them to a whole nother level. It did not raise them up. It put them down so much so that the story goes on to say that they actually hid from God. They were like embarrassed of everything. Shame came on them. All kinds of negative things came into their lives because how many know the enemy is false advertisement, right? It is false advertisement that he comes along and says this is going to be good, but it's not so good. It's interesting because Satan has not changed his tactics in thousands of years. He's not. And you know why? Because it still works. It still works. People still bite. They still go for it. They still think that God's holding out. I need to go over here. I need to get with her. I need to get with him. Or, you know, I'll really have life when I get the education. Everybody's going to be impressed with me. Or if I have enough money or the things that money can buy. Or if I get enough followers or I get enough friends or I get enough likes or I get enough of a house or these things, then I'll be somebody. But how many of you know that is not true? That never satisfies in our lives. But he makes us think that things that aren't real will be real. And he's always trying to sell us on stuff. And so Adam and Eve, instead of getting more enlightened, felt more discouraged, more depressed about their lives. And so here's what happens is they focused on what they didn't have instead of what they did have. And how many of us, the same problem comes into our lives? We focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. And when you do that, it can distort your self-image because you start thinking, I'm not enough if I don't have that. Or if this post that I put out there doesn't get enough likes, and something must be wrong with me. And so today, we're going to do something. We're going to kill something. We're going to kill it, all right? Turn to the person next to you and say, we're going to kill it. Because how many know any good movie starts with some killing? You know, it starts with some stuff blowing up and some stuff happening. And it better happen in the first 5 minutes. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, I mean that is the qualifier of a movie worth paying for. And so today we're going to see some things killed, blown up, destroyed, because Paul gets very aggressive in the language that he uses when he talks in Colossians chapter 3. So let's check it out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I wasn't going to read this whole thing, but then I decided I better do it. So let's read it. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. How many know some people are looking too low? Some people, their sights are too low. They're looking down. No wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're discouraged. No wonder your life seems awful because of what you're looking at. And Paul says, hey, get your eyes up higher. Set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things. Think, okay? Paul, we're going to come back to this. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life. I mean, he's strong here. You died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, I love that. Christ, who is your life, makes me think of how he is. How many of you feel like he is my everything, he is my all, he is my everything, both great and small. He gave himself for me. He made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you, right? Some of you think, wow, he just made that up. No, that was an old song that I grew up hearing. You will share. Who is your life? And when he's revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. So put to death. Here's where we get down to it. Put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. How many know it's in there? Right? Don't leave me up here this morning. I'll come out there after you, all right? It's lurking, right? It's lurking. It's in there. You know, just give you enough pressure, right? It'll come out, right? Are you with me today? Huh? Right? It's in there. And so he says, it's lurking within you, but here's what you do. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, is what they really are, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now, everybody say, but now. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. Say, I'm putting it on. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Right? So we're going to talk today about a renewed you. And in the Colossian area, Colossae, where Paul is talking about in the ancient world, in ancient Asia, it's really modern-day Turkey. And this location where he's speaking to, there are people there. There are Romans, there are Greeks, and there are Jewish people who live there. In other words, it's a metropolitan community. And so you got the metro male, you know, and the metro female. You got the hipsters. You got the people who are, you know, spinning on these philosophies, and it's all good, and we're all living together, and it's just multicultural. And in this community, there were people who would espouse different teachings, and they say, you know, I think if we just elevate our minds, eventually we'll be like God. Ooh, let me write that down. Well, you know, I think if we get our diet in order, that all of a sudden we'll soak into the organic nature of the world, and we'll be able to be like the earth, Mother Earth itself. Ooh, let me write that down. And so people are just sharing all kinds of stuff. And you know, oh, I think that's true. And that could be true too. And Paul says, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on here. It can't all be true. It can't all be true. Everything everybody says, it cannot be true. Turn to the person next to you and say, it can't. It can't. 2 plus 2 and 2 plus 3 can't equal the same thing. That too deep? Trying to keep it simple. So it can't. And so this way, somebody says, well, that way leads to God, and that way leads to God, and this way leads to God. They can't all lead to God. And Paul comes out and just calls it out and says, whoa, I'll tell you what's going on here. Is you people are all confused because the father of lies has come along and told you some things. Jesus, that's who he referred Satan to, the father of lies. He can spin them, you know. And he's an excellent marketer. And so he puts these lies out there, and they sound good on the front end, but how many know on the back end it's not good? Right? Anybody ever have that happen where you thought, this is going to be so good, and it wasn't. And Paul says, hey, I want to tell you guys about the truth. I don't want you to believe a lie. I don't want anybody going off that way. And so Paul says, I'm serving up some pure black coffee. No cream, no foam, no fun stuff, no sugar, no extras in there, no little latte drink or whatever. Paul says, I'm giving you black, hard-nosed, highly caffeinated coffee right here. All right? How many could use some of that? I'll just go ahead and say this. Some of you need some friends in your life who are black coffee. Some of you need some people in your life, and if you don't have these, you ought to make some new friends. Some friends who love you enough to tell you the truth. And that's what Paul is. Paul is a good friend to us this morning because he's going to get all up in your grill and tell you this morning that no, no, no. You can't do it. You can't believe everything's true and everything come out all right. And so here's how Paul tells us, and if you're taking notes, you might want to write a few things down, how to get a new you. The first thing is there is a problem that we have to kill. All right. I thought about saying confront, but that's not strong enough. We can't just confront it. We've got to kill it, because Paul says that right here. Verse 5, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping things of the world. Paul didn't say, put it to the side, put it on the shelf, put it in the cabinet. No, because you can go back to the cabinet, right? Pull it back out again. You can go back to the shelf and pull it out again. You can go back there and put it back into your life. So he said, put it to death in your life. And the original language really means to mortify. Actually, that's a translation. One of the translations says to mortify, to absolutely eradicate, to remove the potential and the possibility of it coming back again. When we first moved here to Avon, Indiana, we had a field behind us. Now it's a subdivision, but originally it was a cornfield, and so we had all this corn in the back, and then they came in the fall to get the harvest, and there are things that live in the fields of corn that you and I don't see most of the time. You know where I'm going? There are small things in the cornfields. And so when they got out there with their big machinery and start, you know, clearing out all this corn and getting rid of all of it, you know, taking it for harvest, I guess all those small things scattered and felt like they needed a new home. And at least one of those decided it would be the White House, all right, that they would live in. And so they came over and were in our kitchen. My wife discovered, to her horror, these little droppings that were on the shelf of our cabinet, of our pantry. And so we began trying to figure out how we're going to get rid of this thing. And so... within a day or something like that, after things have been ripped open and food and different things, I hear a noise in the pantry where no one should be when the doors are closed, right? And so I hear this sound, you know. I thought, oh, this is it. And so I thought, oh, man, we gotta take care of this. And so I thought, what do I do, you know? And I'm looking around, and I thought, well, I'll get something in the bathroom. I got this plunger. And so I swung open the door of the pantry, and this little varmint sits up, and it's like the jig is up, you know? Uh-oh. And these little beady eyes are looking at me, And I thought, it's not your day, it's my day, right? And so he, she, whatever, starts making their way down from where they had climbed up by using our shelving. And so they're making their way down. And so I back off, and just like the thunder god Thor, I'm there with my mallet, you know, my plunger. And so this thing comes off of that last shelf onto the floor running, and whoom! Is this okay? Whoom! And that was it, all right? No more. Because, here's the thing, is I feel like if I take that thing and I move it outside and say, don't bother us anymore. Please don't come back. Find a new home. I'm afraid it doesn't understand English, you know. And it'll be back trying to eat my food, and you don't eat my food, right? And so I decided we've got to put it to death. And some of you, you have habits, you have hurts, you have hang-ups, you have things in your life that are hanging on in your life. And the reason they're hanging on is because you keep putting them back on the shelf instead of putting them to death, the way Paul said. You got to put it to death. See, our self-image is tangled up in some of the stuff that's not helping us, and it becomes a distraction. The suffix here of this word means to kill or cut, just like homicide, genocide, insecticide. So when you decide that you're going to not put up with this any longer, this has drug you down long enough. It has messed up your self-image. It has messed up the image of Christ, which last week we learned is stamped upon you. It has done that long enough. It's time to put it to death in your life. Put it to death. You know, there's this famous story, I'm sure you heard it in history class, about Cortez and how he came to Mexico, and he told the people with him, he said, set the ships on fire. What was he saying? He was saying, no turning back. We're not going back. And some of you need to burn some ships in your life, some stuff in your life, and say, no, not going back to that old life, not going back to that abuse again, not going back to all that hurt, all that heartache. I'm not going to try it one more time. I'm done with that. And in verse 6, he talks about, hey, because the wrath of God is coming. Now, when he talks about this, it's not like God's up there and he's going to beat you over the head. No, you're doing it yourself. By the choices you make, God, like any good parent, is going to say, you know what? If you don't have consequences, you're not going to learn. How many good parents are here, right? Isn't that what you do? You got to let the consequences sometimes come. And, you know, I said this was going to happen if you did that. And so I've got to follow through because I'm a man of my word. I'm a woman of my word. I've got to go ahead and do this because I said this was going to happen. And you went ahead and chose otherwise. And a good parent does that. And God is a better parent than you are. Hello? And so he says the wrath of God is coming. And he says in verse 7, you used to do this. You used to do these things. How many of you, this is like history for you this morning? Because it's like, oh yeah, I used to do that stuff when I walked a different path. You know, maybe it was college or whatever, and it was a while back or whatever. Maybe it was last week, I don't know, for some. And so it might have been, you know, in your past that you did these things. And Paul says that's the way it is. It should be, you know, in the past. But for some of you, it's not a past thing. It's a prophetic word that God is wanting me to say to you today that, you know, you need to put this in your past. You need to quit allowing this to destroy the image of God upon you. Quit dipping down into that kind of stuff. It doesn't lead you to a better life, just like Adam and Eve. It leads you to a worse life. And so today, please, God would say to you, lay it down, kill it, destroy it, put it in the past. And then he says, we have a process that we have to commit to. We have a process. Now, we are in process. Am I right? How many of you, you're a work in process? Okay, some of you are lying today because you're not raising your hand. All right. So we're all in process, right? We're all in process, and God's working on all of us. Look at this again in verse 8. Here's what he says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. And this is not an exhaustive list. He's just given some descriptions to help us to know what he's talking about. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature in all its wicked deeds and put on your new nature, be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Notice how your image is tied into how you know God. The more you know God and know who He is, the more it impacts your image of who you are. See, when you understand God and you understand His grace, you understand His mercy, you understand His love, you understand all about God, you understand Him as much as you possibly can, then all of a sudden, your image is impacted. It's changed. You know, Coach Tony Dungy, loved Coach Dungy, wish he was still here. But he's not. Got to turn the page. So anyway, I love this guy, Christian man. But he said, and he turned two NFL teams around. And he did that by saying, you know what? We've got to change our thinking and our habits. And if we change our thinking and our habits, we can change our results. And it worked. And friend, the same thing in your life. If you'll change your thinking and change your habits, you can change your life. That's the reason why Paul talks so much about thinking and thought life. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, you got to change your thinking. You got to change how you think. You got to renew your mind. In so many instances, he talks about renewal. And that word renewal is like the word renovate. I'm thinking of fixer-upper, you know? It's amazing when they come in and they take a house and they fix it up. It doesn't even look like the same house. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how what they can do in an hour. How many know it didn't happen in 60 minutes, right? It didn't happen in 60 minutes. It was a process of things that occurred. And the same thing in your life and mine. It may not change dramatically in a moment, in an instant, but in a process, God can renew your mind and change you from the past thoughts that you had of who you were. I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm fat, I'll never amount to anything. That's what people told me. And God says, no, 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 that's not what I made. I made somebody new. You can be changed and transformed by renewing your mind like Christ. And so you don't need new clothes or a new do or a new bod. Or something else, and somebody say, well, you haven't seen this. Or new followers, you need 2,000 followers or something. No, those things that you may need to work on, some of those things, but they don't define you. That's not who I am. I'm not the amount of followers I have. I'm not the amount of likes I have. I'm not what my body image is telling people and what they're saying to me about it. I am more than that. I am a creation of God. I am in Christ Jesus. I don't have to wear the label anymore. Those things don't have to define me any longer. I don't have to be defined by my Instagram status, because we all know people that don't look like that normally, right? It's like, I don't know what she did, but that's not how she looked yesterday. Come on, let's get real this morning, right? But Paul says, it's not association by those things. It is an attachment to the living Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit in you. You're not where you used to be. No, you're not perfect yet, but you're not where you used to be. And God is changing you, and He will continue to change you every day. And we also have, here's what how he wraps this up. We have a privilege to live. We have a privilege in Christ that we can live. Here's what, how he says it in verse 11. He says, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. He says, you live as a new person. Somebody stuck a label on you one point in time in your life. It may have been kindergarten. It may have been first grade. It may have been when you were a senior in high school. It may have been in college when you got there. You were thought you were so smart till you got around a bunch of other smart people or whatever, and all of a sudden you didn't feel so smart anymore, and somebody stuck a label on you, or your first marriage or the second marriage stuck another label on you. I'm here to tell you, God, under the authority of Jesus and what Paul declares, says it's time to pull the label off. That's not what God put on you, and you don't have to live under that any longer. You see, when we come to Christ, it's a game changer. See, it changes everything when the Spirit of God comes within your life. And I came here to tell somebody today that you are not the sin you are struggling with. That is not your identity. And it is time to kill that thing and the voice inside of you that says you can't overcome and you'll never overcome and you'll always be this way, you've always been that way or whatever. I'm here to tell you that voice sounds a lot like the voice that spoke to Adam and Eve and told them a lie, and he's still lying today, and he's not able to tell him, he's not able to lie to you any longer, that no longer will I believe the lie, because I'm going to believe the truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free. I'm free. Shout, I'm free. I'm free. One more scripture and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians, here's what it says. For whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil, see, the veil's taken away, that all that's junk. For the Lord, I love this verse, is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, how many know He's here today? Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed, how many have had it removed, and can see and reflect the glory of the Lord And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Hey, baby, you should have seen me a long time ago because I didn't look this good, right? But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better because I've got more and more and more of Him living in me. And when He lives in you, He can set you free from whatever it is in your life that's holding you down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You this morning that You are able to set every captive free.